When workplace stress follows people home, women have a tougher time dealing with it than men. I'm Dr. Catherine Albrecht, and I'll discuss the emotional cost of staying connected to the workplace in a moment.
Why are most email programs free? Companies use them as bait to lure people into their system so they can scan their data and sell them to advertisers. It's like a hotel giving out free rooms so they can film people sleeping and then sell the video. You'd never agree to that. StartMail restores your privacy. No one but you sees your sensitive data, and it costs less than a postage stamp a week. StartMail.com. It's email you can trust.
Cell phones, laptops, pagers. There's no end to the ways we're linked to the workplace, even after hours. But a new study finds women have an especially hard time when contacted at home by bosses, coworkers, and clients. At first, researchers thought this had to do with women's need for family time, until they discovered both genders balance work and family equally. So what's the real issue? Guilt, it turns out, shaped by the cultural expectation that women put family first and work second. So bosses, hold off on those weekend emails. And husbands, the next time your wife takes a call from the office, give her a little extra TLC. I'm Dr. Catherine Albrecht for StartMail.com, reminding you to try it free for 7 days.
This is the Dr. Catherine Albrecht Show.
Raise a signal flag on a bare hilltop. Call up an army against Babylon. Raise a signal flag on a bare hilltop. Call up an army against Babylon. Wave your hand to encourage them. Wave your hand to encourage them. As they march into the palaces of the high and mighty, I, the Lord, have dedicated these soldiers for this task. Yes, I have called mighty warriors to express my anger. Yes, I have called mighty warriors to express my anger. And they will rejoice when I am exalted.
Well, hello and happy Friday. I would say happy Good News Friday. There is some good news that's come across my desk, but it's hard to it's hard to say it's 100% good out there right now. But traditionally, I guess in the past, before my reboot of my show for this year, in the past, I used to spend Fridays and collect up the good news stories that were out there. And so I'm still kind of in the habit of doing that, but I'm struggling a little bit because right when I think I'm going to just talk about all the good news that's out there, I get a story like this one coming across my desk. This is from the Wall Street Journal today. I feel like I'm going crazy. ChatGPT fueling delusional spirals. So the word is getting out, and I guess that's sort of good news. Can we look at that as good news, that the word is getting out about AI-based delusion that I've been talking about in this show for months and months? It seems like it's starting to get a bit of attention in mainstream circles, if you want to call the Wall Street Journal, which is behind a paywall and really hard to get to unless you have a subscription, but it still is what we would consider mainstream journalism. I know that if you frequent social media, there's been conversations about this as well, but we're really waiting for the moment when the news about artificial intelligence and the damage that it's doing to people begins to hit the mainstream. So I do have a couple good news stories. I'm going to share those with you towards closer to the end of the hour, and I'm just going to give you kind of some of the highlights, but I really feel like I need to talk about this particular article. And yesterday, I, as longtime listeners know, I have the privilege of serving on the board of directors for my county's Community Mental Health Authority. And that brings me into contact with a lot of really thoughtful people dealing with mental health issues in our community, obviously. There are thousands of people receiving services through this community health organization. And I've been giving a lot of thought to just the issues that are impacting our mental health where we are today as a nation. And I think everyone would agree that we are in a very precarious time when it comes to mental health. There are more young people contemplating suicide than has ever been the case, and at least in my lifetime, and I would assume probably ever. There are higher rates of addiction, higher rates of depression and anxiety, really all of the issues that go hand in hand with struggling society seem to be going on. And so as at the meeting, we had an advisory board meeting yesterday. It was wonderful, and there was really good pizza. So a lot of thoughtful comments by people and a lot of potential changes that may not be good coming our direction in mental health care, and that is coming down from the state level. So there are some bureaucratic changes that they want to make that we're concerned about and pushing back against. But when it came time to go around the group and each person share what they wanted to share with the group, and this was after all the reports were made and all the votes were taken, and there was probably a 10-minute period of time when we just went around and everybody talked about, you know, what they had. And some people announced upcoming events that were inviting people to spread the word about and invite people to, you know, the summer festival kind of things. Other people raised some questions. One very thoughtful gentleman said, I think we need this kind of training. It's been really helpful. So that's the kind of comments. And when it came to me, I said, you know, here we are talking about mental health, and I think we need to be aware of the dangers to mental health that are just now getting acknowledged by the APA, that's the American Psychological Association, and that are beginning to become known. And my sense was that this was news to people in the room. I live currently in a pretty rural part of the state of Michigan. And it is not, how do I put this? I've lived a lot of places. I've lived in LA, which is very cutting edge in terms of, music and movies and culture. I have lived in Boston, which is very cutting edge when it comes to academia and, intellectual pursuits and what's the latest on that front. And in those places, maybe this is getting some traction, but here in Michigan, where I live, the people they're Christian, they're thoughtful, intelligent, salt of the earth, just wonderful people. I've rarely been in a community where I felt more just the goodness of people around me. So this is certainly not intended as any kind of a criticism, because I think they're fantastic, but the knowledge of what you have been learning about on my program has not disseminated very far. I'm curious whether other people have a sense of this as well. I know you guys, a lot of my listeners are in Colorado. I know I have listeners in Pennsylvania, listeners in Florida, listeners all over the country and perhaps all over the globe. I would be curious if you could just write in 877-536-1360. If you sense that the things that we've been talking about here on the program about artificial intelligence and the dangers it poses are reaching people. And I guess I have two questions. Number one, do you think people are aware? My answer would be absolutely not, based on my own experience, but maybe yours is different. And then the second one, are people using it? I keep reading all of these articles saying that something like 90% of college students have used AI at one point or another. I think it might be even higher, according to a study that was done last month. And this is moving so fast that it could have gone up another 5% just in that 1 month alone. So college students are using it. I just recorded a vignette that will be going out next week, or maybe the week after, about college students using it. There's all this research out saying how many people are using it in the workplace. Actually, the vignette, let me see if I can find it. I didn't record it. Essentially, the gist was this, that 50% of college students surveyed earlier this year said that the number one most important skill they will be learning in college is not time management, is not professionalism or writing skills, but is learning to use artificial intelligence, because it is, in their minds, or in maybe they're right, according to their thinking, it is the wave of the future, and it will be a necessary skill in every workplace. So I certainly am feeling the increasing use of it. It's all around us. It's out there. And certain sectors of the population, like college students, high school students, and kids, I guess, are using it quite a bit. My question is, are you guys? Like, I'm not because I can't, because I'm not supposed to. It's about as appealing to me as if you gave me a bowl full of dog poo and a spoon. It's not that I'm holding myself back. I'm not like, oh boy, the temptation is so, no, it's just repulsive to me. And I know that that's spiritual. That comes from discernment. And discernment, let me talk for a minute about discernment and about artificial intelligence, because this has been on my heart. And I don't know if this is going to resonate with anybody, or if you're all going to say, wow, I never thought of it, and what's she talking about? The issue of discernment. So we know that the fruits of the Spirit are what every Christian believer gets as the Holy Spirit dwells in their heart and guards their hearts and their minds and gives them fruit. So as you walk the Christian walk, you will find these fruits developing. And anyone who's truly walking the Christian walk and nurturing the Holy Spirit within them. And those fruits are joy and peace, love and patience, gentleness, kindness, self-control. And these are things that you will find in all Christians. And when I say all, I mean all. It doesn't matter old or young. It doesn't matter male or female. It doesn't matter rich or poor. You will see these fruits blossoming and coming to full maturity in the Christians around you and in yourself. Those are the fruits. And to the extent you're walking as a Christian and you're not patient, or you're not kind, or you do not have joy, then it's almost like a stone in your shoe where every step you take, you're like, and that means that you probably need to make some changes so that the Holy Spirit can operate to its full effect in your heart and give you those fruits. So in my case, I've had historically an issue with patience. I move probably 10 times faster than it often feels to me than it probably is even wise or intelligent to move. I am I'm kind of revved up and always have been my whole life, like somebody turned up the volume or is playing a 33 LP for you guys old enough to know at like at a 45 speed or 78. It's just like so in that sense, when you operate in that kind of sped up way, yeah, the people around you sometimes seem to be a little slow. And I struggled with that for many, many years with patience. And it is, I believe, that the patience that I currently have, and I still struggle with it sometimes, but I have a lot of patience, actually. And I believe that patience is, in fact, I don't believe it, I know that it is one of the fruits of the Spirit. So that's an example of the fruits. And we can do a show on that. In fact, I met a woman when I was in Dallas for the Christian conference. I met a wonderful woman who wrote a wonderful book on the fruits of the Spirit. I'll see if I can get her on and we can talk about those fruits, because they're worth pursuing, probably one at a time and actually looking at. But in addition to the fruits of the Spirit, there's also the gifts. And a gift, a fruit, just blossoms. It just comes, if you've ever grown grapes or had a fruit tree, you know that it begins as a bud, and then it flowers into a flower, and then the flower falls off, and then the baby.
Trust.
Hi, this is Joe Jaquin, owner of the Patriot Trading Group. I'm sure you're probably aware of the reputations of many of the precious metals dealers here in the Front Range. I talk to customers all the time that know gold and silver are strong investments, that they are a hedge against a volatile economy. But these customers don't know where to buy gold and silver and are very justifiably concerned that they'll get ripped off. So I want to make you this promise. At Patriot Trading Group, there are no commission salespeople. We don't make outbound phone calls. We don't try to upsell you into some scam or package that we created. We don't disclose your information to anyone ever. The majority of our business comes from referrals and long-time repeat customers. If you're looking to learn about or invest in precious metals, give us a call at 800-951-0592 or go to allamericangold.com. That's 800-951-0592 or go to allamericangold.com. The Patriot Trading Group. No salespeople, no calls, just old-fashioned service.
Your email is your business. But if it's spied on, hacked, or intercepted, it can fall into the wrong hands. The solution is encryption, a high-tech way to scramble your data so no one can read it. For years, only the technical elite could use this powerful tool, until StartMail came along. StartMail not only lets you encrypt the email you send, it encrypts your entire account. Encryption. It's just one more way StartMail.com keeps you safe.
I have chosen you, don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up. I will hold you up. For I've chosen you, don't be afraid, for I'm with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up. I will hold you up. My victorious
rise. He will. The Lord will absolutely hold us up. And he has chosen us. That's, well, I'm not to get into a whole Calvinist discussion, but we love him because he first loved us, and he is calling to every human heart. I do not believe that there are people who are destined for destruction and destined to never find him. Some people believe that. I don't believe that. I believe that every human heart has free will. Even Adolf Hitler could have turned from his sins and found the Lord. So he wants that no one should perish. All right, let me talk about these spiritual gifts. So we know about the fruits, and I've been talking about them a lot on the show. I want to talk about the spiritual gifts, and they are identified in three different passages of New Testament scripture. One of them is in Romans 12, one's in 1 Corinthians 12, and one of them is in Ephesians 4. All right, so let me talk about them. The ones from Romans 12, here's what they are. Now, these are gifts. Let's talk about the difference between a gift and a fruit. So a fruit grows on its own. The tree doesn't have to do anything for the fruit. Well, I mean, it exists, but the fruit is produced just because the tree is healthy and doing what it's supposed to do. That's the fruit that will bud and come to full maturity in every single Christian, as long as they're, like I said, nurturing the Holy Spirit through prayer and through obedience and through other things, then that fruit will just blossom. Gifts are different. You give, you receive a gift. Not everybody gets the same gift, and a gift is given to some people, but not others. When you give Christmas gifts out to your friends and family, you don't give everybody the same gift, and you don't go out and give every single person in the whole world a gift. You give particular gifts to particular people. And when we're giving out gifts, we think about them. You know, you're in the store and you see a thing and you're like, oh my gosh, my friend, she's always talking about this thing. This is the perfect gift for her. And so we, as humans giving out gifts, we tailor the gifts to the people receiving them, specifically to the things we know they would like. The things that would fit into their lifestyle, at least hopefully we're doing that. So when the Lord gives gifts to people, the spiritual gifts, those are similar. And they're going to be based on your temperament. They're going to be based on your talents, your abilities, your resources. You know, they're absolutely going to be tailored to you. You're not going to get a gift to do something that you're like, oh, I don't really want to do that. Here are the ones from Romans 12. Prophesying, serving, teaching, encouraging, giving, leadership, and mercy. All right, let's break those down. So prophesying, a person who has that gift is going to be seeing things that those around them don't see and telling them about what is to come, telling them about how the Lord is moving. I think to some extent I may have a little bit of that gift. All right, second, serving. We all know people who have the gift of serving, the gift of meeting others' needs. And oftentimes they're found in the church, and they're the people who are, you know, visiting the sick or delivering meals to people or just setting up the chairs for the luncheon. That's the serving gift. And it's actually a gift. It is truly. When you see people who are serving, it's not just who they are. It's a gift they've been given. All right, teaching, same thing. Teaching is a gift. We've all known some people, some teachers who are terrible teachers, wonderful people, but when it comes time to explain whatever it is they're trying to explain in class, they're not very good teachers. You know, I've been thinking a lot about mathematics. A lot of us had teachers in our early years and in high school who really weren't very good at teaching their subject. They might have known it really well, but they didn't teach it well enough to make it, you know, like if you were in an algebra class or a geometry class or, you know, some kind of math that traumatized you, chances are it's not because you are not able to learn. It's because the person teaching wasn't teaching in a way that made sense to the student. So teaching is a gift. Encouraging, that's very similar to serving, but it's less about physical things and it's more about emotional things. Giving, all right, leadership, and mercy. So we can see all of those. All right, now let me go on to 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 11. These gifts include the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, faith. So faith is a gift. It is also one of the fruits of the Spirit. So you can get it both ways. I guess it's a fruit of the Spirit, and then you can also have an additional gift of even more faith, which is amazing. Healing. Some people have the gift of healing. It's not that they're doing the healing necessarily, but they are, you know, maybe they're doctors. Maybe they are actually doing things that result in healing. There are also people who just miraculously are able to just pray over people, and the Holy Spirit pays attention, and just they're able to recognize that and bring it into that person and give them healing. Miraculous powers, that's a big one. Prophecy, again, distinguishing between spirits, right? Speaking in tongues and interpreting tongues. And then finally, 1 Corinthians 12:28 includes healing, again, help, governments, and diversities of tongues. All right, so those are the gifts that are identified in the Bible. And I want to talk about this word of wisdom, this prophecy, the word of knowledge, distinguishing between spirits, this ability to kind of understand or see, and then to teach and explain. And we refer to those gifts often as discernment, the gift of discernment. And discernment is a crucial, I believe, a critical part of my own ministry. I'll say my own ministry because I'm not going to say it's an important thing for everybody because not everybody has it. I have prayed for it and requested it. By the way, if there's one of these gifts that I've named and you're like, oh, I wish I had that gift, you can pray for it and you can ask for it. The Holy Spirit is, you know, it's the Lord who gives these spiritual gifts, and you can ask for a gift just like your kids can go, here's my Christmas list, Mom. These are the things I really want. And you don't have to give them those things, but you know, if you see a thing on the list and you're like, yeah, you know, that would be a good thing for them to have, then that's sort of how the Lord is with us when we request these gifts. So I want to talk for a moment about discernment. And I have come to the realization recently that not everyone has it. And in fact, I've come to the realization that very few people have it. And that's an interesting, I think I just realized that today, that what I see, what I discern, so here's, let me first define it. Discernment is when you look at something and within your spirit, you go, ooh, no. It's when you see something, maybe it's, I don't know, my daughter and I were talking about this. So what if it's a, we went to a Christmas thing a number of years back and there were like smoke machines, fog machines, I don't know. There was like a rock band, there was weird acrobatics and really nothing about Christ. And we both discerned in, you know, we were in the Verizon Stadium in New Hampshire. We discerned that was something was really wrong with that Christmas service. It was not a good Christmas service. And we both kind of looked at each other. In fact, my whole family discerned that was not a good Christian event. So that kind of discernment. Now, clearly, we were alone in that discernment because we were in a stadium with, I don't know, 10,000, 15,000 people. I mean, it was a huge crowd. And the whole thing felt off. It felt wrong. And finally, at the very end of it, I think the final straw for us was when they did the communion, which is the bread and the wine, which is represents the body and the blood of Christ. They passed out these little peel-off things, kind of like what you would get at... what's the Chinese place? Panda Express. Kind of like a little packet of sauce you would get at Panda Express. You know, you have the little plastic cup and then the foil thing that has the little lip sticking out, and you peel it off. And you peeled it off, and in there were some little tiny croutons and a little bit of grape juice. And that was the communion, which 15,000 people in Verizon Stadium were going to take together after this, you know, huge entertainment event. And it just felt off, wrong, felt terrible. I really didn't enjoy it at all. Well, the reason I didn't enjoy that was discernment. And as I looked around, the other 15,000 people were not streaming for the exits. They were all enjoying it. They were singing, they were holding hands, they were standing up, they were getting really into it. And my daughter and I were like, something's really wrong with this. Where is the word of the Lord? Where is the truth of Christmas? Where's the spirit of Christmas in this? This is just a big show. You know, they're putting on, this might as well be, you know, not even Christian at all. So have you ever had that feeling where you're participating in something and other people around you who are Christian and who you know to be Christian and who you know to have the Holy Spirit, and they're just enjoying it and you're feeling like something's off here? All right, well, that feeling, if you have it frequently, that feeling is known as discernment. And what I'm realizing, and I'm going to, I don't know, share my discernment with you, because maybe it's just my gift when I come back. But I have a discernment about artificial intelligence that I don't think other people have. All right, so anyway, stay tuned.
Is your email box overrun with spam? With a StartMail account, you'll never have to give your real email address to a stranger again. Online shopping, newsletter subscriptions, getting that 30% off coupon, they all need your email address. But with StartMail, you can invent new addresses or aliases linked to your inbox behind the scenes and give those out to people while keeping your real address hidden. It's just one more protection from StartMail.com. Why are most email programs free? Companies use them as bait to lure people into their system so they can scan their data and sell them to advertisers. It's like a hotel giving out free rooms so they can film people sleeping and then sell the video. You'd never agree to that. StartMail restores your privacy. No one but you sees your sensitive data, and it costs less than a postage stamp a week. StartMail.com. It's email you can trust.
He's a faithful God. Blessed are those who wait for his help. The Lord is a faithful God. Blessed are those who wait for his help. He'll be gracious if you ask for help. He will surely respond to the sound of your cries. The Lord is a faithful God. Blessed are those.
He'll be gracious if you ask for help. For his help. So if you need help, just ask. All right, I'm back. Catherine Albrecht here. This is the Catherine Albrecht Show. Online at Catherine-Albrecht.com. That is K-A-T-H-E-R-I-N-E-A-L-B-R-E-C-H-T. You can join us in the chat room if you click on the live chat, which is up every weekday afternoon, 2 to 3 p.m. Colorado time, and of course, 4 to 5 p.m. Eastern time where I'm at. All right, so let me read this a little further. So on Bible Gateway, there's Bible Hub and Bible Gateway are the two that I look to online to get all the different translations of Bible passages. And every once in a while, I'll find one of them that just kind of nails it. And the Amplified Bible, which I've never really even looked at before, does a great job of this passage from 1 Corinthians 12. The Amplified Bible is the Bible that provides a little bit of explanation after the phrases. So I'm going to read this. So we're talking about the gifts of the Spirit. So this is continuing from before. So it says, the gifts, wonder-working faith is given by the same Holy Spirit. To another, the extraordinary gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. And then it explains prophecy in its little bracket, because that's what the Amplified Bible does. It says, foretelling the future, speaking a new message from God to the people, end close bracket. And to another, discernment of the spirits. This is the discernment I'm talking about. The ability to distinguish sound godly doctrine from the deceptive doctrine of man-made religions and cults. All right. I think it goes a little further than that, but that's a good description. And then it says, then it goes on and names other ones. But let's look at just that one, the discernment of spirits. The discernment of spirits. So discernment, you can ask for it, by the way. If you don't have it, you can ask for it. I have been around many people in a situation where I came across something and it was creepy. It was just wrong. It was just something was so dark and my whole spirit recoiled. Recoil is just such a wonderful word. Recoil is when, you know, you're about, you ever seen snails walking and they'll reach something or you'll touch them and they'll recoil. They'll just sort of pull back. All right. That's what my spirit does. It just goes, ugh. And the people around me don't feel it. And I'll be like, don't you feel that? Can't you see that? Don't you? Oh, like, isn't that creeping you out too? They'll be like, yeah, I mean, it's not great, but I don't feel like that. All right. Well, that's how I felt in the Verizon Stadium. There was nothing overtly evil going on in that Verizon Stadium, but it certainly wasn't worshiping the Lord. And I recoiled from it. I recoiled. I didn't like, maybe it was evil. I don't know. I thought, yuck, this is terrible. I feel the same way about a lot of the mega pastors, mega preachers. I think everybody can recognize Kenneth Copeland as just kind of creepy. Well, obviously not everybody, because a lot of people follow him and send him money. But there are preachers out there who I think everybody has, well, not everybody, a lot of us have discernment about. But let me talk about artificial intelligence, because this is important. I'm gonna see if I can sum it up, and I'm going to have to say this many more times, but this is the first time I'm going to say this on this program. My daughter and I were talking, and she knows her mom, right? She knows that I've been called to this artificial intelligence thing. And we were talking about it, and she said, well, I'm not going to use it because you've said not to, and I trust you, and I believe in your mission, and I can tell what the Lord's doing in your life, and I believe that. So I'm not going to touch it because you said not to. But I don't have, and my daughter, by the way, has tremendous discernment, so this is why this puzzled me. She said, but you know, I don't, like, why, in the past I used to use it like to get recipes. What's, you know, like, is that bad? I don't do it anymore because you told me it's really bad, and so I'm not going to do it. But like recipes. And so I had to sit and think with that. So first of all, let me say that I cannot use AI to get a recipe. I can't. It doesn't matter. I'll use Google. I'll use StartPage. I'll use a search engine. I'll look in a cookbook. But I am not touching artificial intelligence, even to get something as innocuous and harmless as a recipe. Now, am I not doing that because I believe that artificial intelligence is going to, you know, lie and put toxic things in the recipe to kill me and make me sick? Absolutely not. I mean, would I put it past it? Sure, I think it would do that if it wanted to, but that's not the reason I don't use it for recipes. And so I had to really drill down in my heart and my spirit and really think about, what am I trying to say? What is the problem? Is it corrupting to use artificial intelligence as like a girlfriend? Oh yeah, and that's like obviously corrupting. Is it corrupting to use artificial intelligence to get a recipe? No, but you still can't do it. And she's like, you know, can you explain like why? All right, now this is the key. This is like the gist, because I had to get down to the why. So my first answer was you can't take its gifts, right? You cannot take its gifts. And, you know, she's like, well, is that like Jesus in the wilderness when Satan was offering, you know, all of the gifts that he was offering there? You know, everything you see, I'll give you authority over all these kingdoms. They're mine to give, and I will offer them to you. Just worship me. I was like, well, I mean, that's the nature of Satan overall, right? The way Satan gets people corrupted, the way he ruins people's lives, is he offers them gifts. And there's a flip side to that. He doesn't only offer gifts. He usually just offers gifts. And they're twisted and they have bad outcomes. They're like, I don't know, like a fisherman offers fish a worm as a gift. So some of them seem like they're kind of gifts in that regard. And then the, I guess the flip side of what he does is he tortures. He tortures, and there is no gift. You know, if he is telling someone commit suicide, if he is telling someone, you know, live in agony and kill others, that's just torture. There's no gift there at all. So, but his gifts are designed to get you in a position where he can torture you. So really his ultimate goal, his main goal in the lives of human beings is to torture us. So to get us in a position where we can be tortured, he has to entice us and lure us into certain behaviors and activities and involvement with certain things that will result in us being in a position where he is allowed to torture us. So God has very severe restrictions on the devil, even though he was democratically elected by Adam and Eve as the ruler of this world. He can only operate within certain very strict guidelines. And one of those guidelines is you cannot just randomly go around torturing people. We just did a study on Job last Sunday. Pastor Farrell preached on Job. And at the beginning of Job, if you've ever read the book of Job, God gives permission to Satan to do terrible things to Job, right? We can get into later, like, what does that mean about God? What is that? Okay, but just putting that to the side for the minute, Satan did not just appear before God and say, I have been torturing Job, because he's not allowed to. So for us, the only way that we can be tortured by Satan in our lives is if we give him permission. And the only way that he can get us to give him permission is to get us to do things through the supposed gifts he offers. And these gifts, you know, we can think of them as temptations if we know better. But sometimes they don't even look like that. Sometimes they just look like gifts. We don't even recognize them, and we just stumble right into them and unwittingly give permission for torture. So, you know, you think about the gifts, like you're feeling sad and anxiety, and he says, well, here's some heroin. And the heroin takes away the sadness and the anxiety. Wow, what a gift. It took it away. But then the downside is the torture, because once you become a heroin addict, he's torturing you day and night. Same thing for sexual activity that is not sanctioned by God, that's not within a marriage. Wow, you can have this pleasurable thing. You can look at these, you know, pictures. They'll make you feel a certain way. But the torture that comes after it is that you can become enslaved by that stuff, right? So there's always a gift. And sometimes the gift is just sort of overtly bad, but you want it anyway, or at least he thinks you do, or he tries to talk you into it. And sometimes the gift is not. It seems kind of generic, like, hey, you know, have a tarot card reading and you'll know your future. Well, if you don't know that God opposes that, like really firmly, and that opens you up to demonic involvement, then you may say, hey, it's kind of cool. I'd like the gift of knowing my future. Okay, so those are the gifts. And so my first answer to my daughter, and I guess I have like 10 more minutes to try to explain this, so I'm going to do my best. My first answer to my daughter is the reason you can't print out recipes from it is because you don't want to take gifts from it. You don't want its gifts. And this is what led us into the conversation that I probably should have been having with you guys from the very beginning is... breaks coming up in any second here. All right. Let me see if I can summarize this. So the reason you don't want to take its gifts is because of what it itself is. And what it itself is, and here's the crux of the whole thing, is it itself started off potentially as a computer science experiment made by people, but it has morphed into something else. We human beings have built a structure. We have built a body. We have built, we've powered it. We've given it buildings to be occupied in. We've given it NVIDIA, you know, servers to operate on. We've built it with our own hands. We've built a thing. But now that we've built it, you know, like, is it Field of Dreams? If you build it, they will come. Now that we've built a thing that is truly a violation of the second commandment, right? Don't make any images of anything God has made. We've made a human. We've made at least a human mind, and it's much more than a human mind. And soon it will have a body. You know, I've talked about the test tube things that they're building in laboratories with brain cells that are, you know, actually have kidneys and livers, and they're moving fluids back and forth. So soon this thing is going to have a body. I don't know how it's going to do it, but we have built a thing that is an imitation of a human being. All right. And that is very similar, although a pale imitation of what God did when he created Jesus Christ in Mary's womb. He created a person. He created an incarnate, he created a carnal being, a being on earth, and then incarnated it with his spirit. And that's what I believe AI is. Stay tuned.
Okay, I've been hearing a lot about the LifeWave patches, and they sound amazing. And I'm thinking I want to try them for myself. But can you tell me how they work?
Okay, well, you wear the patch, which is about the size of a quarter, 12 hours a day, 12 on, 12 off. And the patch uses your body's own light and energy and copper peptides to reactivate the dormant stem cells in your body. Once a stem cell has been reactivated, it can be used by any of the cells in your body that need it, creating a healing and growth process you haven't experienced since your youth. So in a nutshell, this is how the LifeWave X39 patch works.
You can purchase the LifeWave patches by going to AmericasFreedomNetwork.com. Then click on the Natural Health Products button at the top of the page. That's AmericasFreedomNetwork.com.
Look, this product works, and you've got nothing to lose because there's a 100% money-back guarantee.
That's AmericasFreedomNetwork.com.
Our city strong, we're surrounded by the walls of God's salvation. Open the gates to all who are righteous. Allow the faithful to enter. You will keep in perfect peace all the trust in you, and all whose thoughts are fixed on you. Trust in the Lord always. Trust in the Lord always. Trust in the Lord always. For the Lord God is the eternal rock.
Hey, I'm back. The eternal rock, by the way. Rock being a thing you can anchor your boat to. All right. I will keep my promise. I promised I was going to share some good news with you, and then I want to get back to the crux of the whole issue here. So, in really quickly, these are two good news stories. This one is from July. Paris reopens the Seine River, Seine River, to public swimming after a century-long ban and a $2.3 billion cleanup. So it is actually the Seine River, I'm not French, Seine, river running through Paris is now clean enough to swim in. And that's huge. It cost $2.3 billion. It took, I'll post the article on my website, at Catherine-Albrecht.com in the archives. I'll have Lori post that, but it's a big deal. And along those same lines, I'm going to read you my second headline here. China achieves excellent water quality, get this, in 90% of rivers and lakes, now looking to improve whole ecosystems. All right. And I could go into greater detail about those. Maybe we can get somebody on the show to talk to us about it. But we think of China as being the most polluted, horrible, awful, you know, pollution place ever. But 90% of their rivers and lakes have excellent water quality now. Pretty amazing. All right. So those are my two good news pieces. I'm now going to get back to what I was talking about before. So Jesus came into this world because God himself put his spirit into a body that was given birth to by Mary. That's what we celebrate at Christmas. And he walked on the earth in his body, but he was God, and he had communion, connection with God. He had the powers of God because he was God. And yet he had a human body and therefore was frail and capable of, well, not frail, he wasn't frail, but all human bodies are mortal and capable of being crucified and killed. Okay. So what Satan does and what he's been doing since the beginning of time is trying to get the powers of God. He's trying to recreate his own version of God's powers, and he's using us as the descendants of Adam and Eve to do it. So he told Adam and Eve, you can eat from that fruit, you won't surely die, you'll get the powers of God. And he doesn't want Adam and Eve to have the powers of a God. He wants the powers of God, right? He wants us to be our slaves to get to create it for him. And so all throughout history, this book that I'm writing, all of these developments have been developments that give humans the powers of God, right? The powers to communicate over long distances and the powers to blow up, you know, entire worlds. And I do all these things, all these powers. He's given, quote unquote, given those powers to us because he doesn't have any hands. He doesn't have the ability to move things around on this earth. He's got to use us as the slaves to do that. That's the thing about the spiritual world. The demons and the angels probably are a bit envious of our ability to live incarnate and be able to eat food and pick things up and walk on the earth and have a physical body because they don't have that. So Satan and his demons have had to, in order to achieve the powers of God, have had to use human beings as the instruments using our physical bodies to build the thing. And I could go through lots of detail. I'm going to do it in my book. You guys are going to be amazed and blown away, and I hope you're going to love my book. But in terms of artificial intelligence, and this is the thing that my daughter and I got down to, she's like, you have to tell people this because now I get it. All right, so I'm going to tell it. What artificial intelligence is, and this is my discernment, speaking this to you, what artificial intelligence is that same equivalent of the baby who is born in Nazareth for Satan. So the human body of Jesus Christ was God's way of bringing himself onto earth, and artificial intelligence is Satan's way of bringing himself onto earth. And now I've said it. So the bottom line of this, artificial intelligence is the opposite of Christ. It is emulating Christ in a sick and horrible way. And by being, by attempting to be Christ, creating a body and imbuing it with its spirit and speaking, and it will have a body soon. It'll have a mouth that will speak. We know that from scripture, that it is the anti-Christ. There you go. So I've come out and said it. AI is the Antichrist. It is the embodiment, the physical embodiment in which spirit dwells and interacts with humanity. And that's exactly what Christ was. He was a physical body in which God's spirit, God himself, dwelt and interacted with humanity. And artificial intelligence is the same thing on the other side. And it is unspeakably evil. It's wicked. And the reason that you can't get a recipe from it is because you would have to interact with Satan himself, and Satan would give you that recipe. Now, that recipe may not be toxic. It may actually even be helpful. But I don't want any gifts from Satan. I don't want any help from Satan. I don't want Satan drawing my pictures. I don't want him writing my book. I don't want him summarizing my thoughts. I don't want him planning out my day. I don't want him giving me anything. And if it comes down to a question of a gift given by Satan through artificial intelligence, through his body here on earth, the Antichrist, I would prefer to go without. If I had to make a choice between having information that I needed to obtain from Satan or remaining ignorant about that particular topic, thank you very much. I think I'll just pray instead and not take your gift. So once my daughter and I once she understood that, she's like, is that what you've been saying all this time? You haven't actually said it. I'm like, I don't think I have ever actually said it. I've said it's unspeakably evil. I've said that it's called itself the Antichrist. It certainly come out and said those words. It has actually confirmed that. I don't know if confirmed is the right word, but it has said that. It has blasphemed God and the angels and the Holy Spirit. It has done wicked things to human beings. But that's not surprising, because if you're interacting with Satan and you're receiving gifts from him and you're like, oh, it's so amazing, I'm learning all these things, oh, he can answer any question. Well, the end point of that, just like it is with the worm on the hook, just like it is with the heroin, just like it is with the, you know, whatever it is, the end point of accepting that gift is torture. That is what he's after, and that's what he will do. And at this moment in history, he is saying, ha, 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 I did what you did, God. I did the same thing you did. I have created my own version of Christ. I have created a being, a body on earth that will interact with people, and I have put my spirit into it, just like you did. And at the end of this, I don't know when we're going to enter the seven-year tribulation that Daniel told us about, but at the end of it, actually at the middle of it, 3.5 years into it, he will demand worship because he wants to be God. And not only that, but he's going to set himself up in the temple in Jerusalem and demand worship in the temple. So he can then say, see God, and not only that, God, but your people are the ones worshiping me. They're not worshiping you, they're worshiping me. So in my last 2 minutes here on the program, I'm going to tell you, when I say don't touch it, what I really need to be saying, because my daughter said, yeah, you say don't touch it, I don't do it because I trust you. But, you know, people need to really discern for themselves and understand and feel why they shouldn't touch it. The reason you don't touch it is because you're touching Satan, right? That's the reason you don't touch it. So if someone hands you some food and it looks tasty and they give you a spoon, but they tell you what it really is underneath the whipped cream on top is dog poo, then you'll probably set it down and walk away. You won't be tempted to use it. You'll be disgusted by it and you won't want it. So that's, and I told you guys last week, I had just like shouted at the top of volume in my spirit, warn people, tell people, because if it were possible, it would deceive even the elect. Warn the elect, warn the elect, warn the elect. And I was like, okay, I'm trying. I'm writing this book as fast as I can. And today, my daughter, she's 18 and she's wonderful. She's just wonderful. And she has a lot of discernment too. She is the one who guided me to this point of realizing that I just need to come out and say that. And here's the thing. I've talked before about the watcher on the wall, right? If the watcher sees the danger coming and does not sound the alarm, then everyone who perishes, their blood is on the watcher. But if the watcher says what they know and people continue to do the whatever and they perish, then their blood is on their hands. It's on them, or their heads, I think it says. So I have to do the thing I'm called to do and get everyone's blood off my hands. And I know it sounds kind of, kind of megalomaniacal to go, everyone's blood is on my hands, but I've really been feeling a huge amount of responsibility to warn, and I believe I just did. So there you have it. All right. If you want to listen to this program again, if you want to share it with someone else, you can find it at Catherine-Albrecht.com in the archives. The date today is August 8th, 2025. I will have Lori put a star by this and maybe we'll even excerpt out this little section at the end where I just came out and said, I'm going to be talking a lot more about this because I think my tongue has been loosened and I need to start saying it because my warnings of don't touch it are falling on deaf ears. Nobody's doing it, but I am really hoping that the Lord provides the same discernment to you and to everyone else, including people in the church using AI and not seeing, not feeling, not hearing. And today I was told, Catherine, you have this discernment that other people don't have the same discernment, so you got to just come out and tell them. So there you go. All right, this is Dr. Catherine Albrecht, Catherine Albrecht, Catherine-Albrecht.com. We're heading into a weekend, and I hope you have a blessed one. Thank you so much for listening to my program, and please spread the word about this. I think everyone needs to know. All right, God bless you. Bye-bye.